The United States' most well-known UFO investigation panels, Project Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book, ran from 1949 to 1969 and collected data on more than 13,000 UFO sightings. Of this massive body of sightings, 258 cases reported UFO sightings by ships, and a small percentage of these highlight unidentified submerged objects or transmedium objects. Of course, as I highlighted in my last USO video, go check that out, 1952's OPNAV Directive 3820 restricted Navy UFO sightings to only be shared with Air Force Technical Intelligence Center, USAF Intelligence, and Director of Naval Intelligence. So it is no wonder we are left wanting for officially reported USO. But what about the cases we do have? And what other cases that don't appear in Blue Book that span our history are worth our time? Hey guys, it's UAP Gerb, and join me as we take a closer look at USO sightings throughout history. From Blue Book to the modern day to pre-World War I, let's analyze reported cases of unidentified submerged objects. And guys, today we will not just be sticking with the US, but analyzing global cases I find worth studying. As mentioned in the intro, only 2% of Blue Book cases, aka 258 reports, involved sea sightings of UFOs, and 13 of these reports can be classified as good, meeting merit standards for UFO reporting, and a handful of these cases with relevant data describe USO and transmedium object. Found in the Annals of Blue Book Indexing is a sighting that occurred in the North Atlantic from the ship Marcala on August 4, 1950. Shockingly, this case is listed by Blue Book as unidentified and may in fact be my favorite case I will discuss today. At 10 p.m. EDT, the shipmaster, chief mate, and third mate of the MV Marcala saw an unidentified elliptical object approach their vessel from the southwest heading northeast. Passing within 1,000 feet of the ship, the object hovered no more than 100 feet above sea level, with speeds ranging from 25 to 500 miles per hour. This object was described as ovular, cylindrically shaped, and elliptical, like half an egg cut lengthwise. The object's appearance varied in testimony from shiny aluminum to metallic white. All three witnesses described the object as having a rotary and wobbling motion as it passed closely over the ocean. This event lasted roughly a minute. We can also hop on board the SS City of Almaco, heading from Yokohama to LA just north of the Hawaiian Islands on November 7, 1959. Three witnesses on board the craft observed a bright object streaking across the water from 4 miles north of the ship. The light emitted three flashes before submerging under the surface, and remember those three flashes as they'll come up later. The Almaco changed its course to investigate, but nothing was discovered. Blue Book labeled this case as a meteor, but while such a prosaic explanation might be possible, the idea of a meteor taking a low pursuit angle and streaking across the water for an extended time period warrants more investigation. And if that case is not anomalous enough for you, let's investigate near the vicinity of Ascension Island in the Atlantic on the 25th of June 1960. At 23:34 local time, an Operation Range vessel codenamed Whiskey was retrieving the data cassette from a missile test labeled 1802. The small boat was launched to recover the floating cassette, illuminated by strobes and monitored from the Whiskey and aircraft above. As the smaller boat got within 300 to 500 yards of the strobe, the crew observed a steady white or yellowish light appear 100 yards from the cassette from under the surface and roughly 25 degrees from their boat. This light appeared to be on or very close to the surface, and no waves appeared to break over the light. The event lasted for 10 seconds and was spotted by the RCA photographer, test observer, divers of the recovery crew, as well as the pilot and co-pilot of the recovery plane. Blue Book claimed this sighting was a flare, however, it was established none of the planes or vessels released a flare over this site. And this story reminds me very closely of the encounter I relayed from Lou Elizondo in my last video, where a diving team sent to retrieve missile data observed a massive USO emerge from the depths and intercept the missile. And speaking of rushed Blue Book conclusions, we can look at the SS Morgantown Victory on the 11th of January 1966. Near 1,000 miles southeast of Tokyo, the third mate, helmsman, and bow lookout observed a cigar-shaped object approach their ship. The cigar object glowed with an orange-yellow color, with a bright glow on its front and a body with a duller glow. The body had two lights on top, and the entire craft was estimated to be 200 to 250 feet long and 35 to 40 feet in length. The object neared the starboard side of the ship from the horizon, and then turned 180 degrees to avoid going over the vessel. It approached the ship within 1 mile at an elevation of far less than 400 feet. After hovering for 30 seconds, the object crossed in front of the ship and once again changed directions. This incident occurred for 3 minutes, until the object entered the sea. The shipmaster believed a plane had crashed and ordered the ship to conduct a search. Blue Book identified this case as the Cosmos 33 satellite decay. However, this explanation does not account for the object hovering and speed and directional changes. If you would like to read more on ship-based UAP sightings, I highly recommend this PDF on maritime UFO and USO research in Blue Book. This stat-rich report highlights some exceptional data, such as the split between Blue Book sightings between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. Of the 258 ship visual cases, 104 occurred in the Atlantic and 155 in the Pacific. This data highlights while there is an increase in Pacific sightings and possibly a hotspot, UFO and USO sightings are not an isolated incident on water. Historically, the Soviets kept a tight lid on UAP reports. In fact, Russian UFO stigma has been as oppressive, if not more, than our own here in the United States. One day I would like to cover the USSR UFO stigma and files at length, but that is not the topic of our video today because, fortunately, the former Soviet Union has a trove of USO reports that are indeed worth investigating. I will primarily be pulling from the case log of Russia's USO Secrets by Paul Stonehill and Philip Mantle. However, I will only be discussing cases that I find especially worthy of note and can track down additional reporting on. Many of these cases are just stories, and we don't have direct access to Soviet declassified files like we do with Blue Book, so I will be doing my best to vet these cases. Let's dive into a handful of the most interesting. On October 7, 1977, the Soviet submarine repair ship Volga was piloting the Barents Sea. Its radar detected an unknown object approaching at a distance of roughly 60 miles. The Volga's Captain Tarantin approached the bridge to see 9 bright disks moving in from the northeast. The disks arrived and circled the vessel for a span of 18 minutes. During the encounter, ship comm links malfunctioned, similar to the Major Jafari in the 1976 Tehran UFO incident. After the disks depart, the ship comms and operations return to normal. Raising concern in the Soviet Navy, Fleet Admiral Nikolai Ivanovich Smirnov, no, not the liquor, issued a directive on mandatory reporting of UFO sightings by Soviet hydrographic scientific research and reconnaissance ships, similar to JANAP 146C and OPNAP Directive 3820. The directive was authorized by naval officer and ufologist Vladimir G. Asaza, and signed by Naval Deputy Chief of Staff Pyotr Novoitsev. This case was not only discussed in Russia's USO Secrets, but also in Jacques Vallée's book, UFO Chronicles of the Soviet Union, A Cosmic Samizdat, on pages 29 to 30. The link to the book, free of course, will be in the video description, so check that out for yourself. Kamchatka Peninsula is a fascinating region of Russia. The almost 500 square kilometer area separates the Sea of Okhotsk from the Pacific Ocean. According to Russia's USO Secrets and an article written by Soviet scientist Valentin Solomshikov, on a bright day in August of 1970, we follow a group of hydrologists conducting research within a motorboat on Kamchatka Lake. Suddenly, around a kilometer away from the boat, a massive dome of water shot out of the lake, in which rose a gray-colored oval object, estimated to be 40 to 60 meters in length. The object rose to an altitude of nearly 100 meters and hovered motionlessly. As it did, the motorboat engine stalled. Horrified, the team gazed at the object until it accelerated away rapidly, restoring functions to their engine. What fascinates me about this case is the disruption to the boat engine, something we see Kevin Knuth discuss at the Soul Foundation, and an aspect of many UFO encounters from vehicles. In the same year of our Soviet submarine case of 77 is one of the strangest encounters I have heard. This information is relayed from the manuscripts and books of Felix Zigel, one of Russia's most well-respected ufologists. On June 15, 1977, the Soviet ship Novokuznetsk navigated the Gulf of Guayaquil, Ecuador. A radiogram sent by the ship relayed at night straight ahead of the vehicle, a white, luminescent sphere rose from the water. It flew around the ship, hovered 20 meters over the vessel, flew higher, zigzagged, and dove back into the water. And with the Russians, my friends, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'd like to leave you with this clip from this Russian documentary on USOs from 2006, where we see a Russian submarine captain discuss the phenomenon. I highly recommend checking out this whole documentary, and of course, the link will be in the video description.
Я думаю, что об этих явлениях, которые в океане, в атмосфере, на стыке двух сфер, море и воздух, американцы также знали, как и мы. И также занимались этими проблемами. И занимаются, наверное, до сих пор. Потому что не зря все эти публикации, как и у нас, у них, они до сих пор еще засекречены.
But one country that has an abundance of declassified UFO/USO government documentation is Australia. The Australian UFO files consist of a multitude of reports, papers, and files on anomalous sightings. In fact, the Royal Australian Air Force's first official unknown reported UAS unusual aerial sighting occurred on January 23, 1964 and describes, quote, seen at sea by crew of a vessel northeast point of Groote Island, Western Australia. Large lights in water, made compass go haywire. Shadow in center of lights rotated clockwise, causing lights to pulsate, end quote. The tampering of instrumentation is something we see again and again pop up in UFO-USO encounters, and certainly not missed by Australia. A report was drafted on magnetic disturbance and local compass activity from the sighting. Around this time in the 50s and 60s, the Australian authorities began to take USO and UFO sightings seriously. See these newspaper clippings of civilian UAP encounters near water, clipped and included alongside government and military encounters. Such as this 1963 clipping about a fisherman observing a light shoot up from the water, hover, and disappear. Australian intelligence agencies actually tracked reports of Australian encounters very similar to both the fisherman encounter and our 1977 Soviet encounter. This 1967 incident details a sighting in which both staff from the Department of Works and local Aussies observed lights pop up from out of the sea, rise to a great height, curve, and return to the oceans. Many of these sightings were accompanied by three distinct flashes once returned to sea. Remember back to our SS City of Almaco case in Project Blue Book. It is worthy to note that Lieutenant Commander of Australian Intelligence A.F. Perry hypothesized these could possibly be experiments conducted by several oil search teams. However, this does not seem consistent, as this sort of sighting has been seen by Australia, the Soviets, and Americans. Outside of the Australian government, the citizens of the land down under have some fascinating stories of USOs, especially regarding objects shooting out of the sea and performing intelligently controlled maneuvers. In 1947, Port Augusta, South Australia, Frederick Walter and Emma Flavel observed five gray oblong objects rise from the sea and move from northwest to southeast. This sighting was also observed by two railroad workers who described five white or light pink egg-shaped objects rise from the sea, but with the added detail of quivering, similar to our MV Marcala case mentioned earlier in the video. Cigar shapes have been seen in our skies and oceans throughout world and Australian history. Around the time the Australian government began taking UAP seriously, we can find a case that appeared in the July to August issue of Flying Saucer Review, 1966-67. Private pilot C. Adams and television cameraman Mr. Les Hendy reported seeing four or five mysterious objects 3 miles east of Fraser Island. Approaching the objects from the sky, there appeared to be two dark-colored cigars, narrow and up to 100 feet long, accompanied by three smaller objects. The two noticed the objects standing still in the water and started to submerge as the aircraft approached within 2 miles. Initially thought to be whales or submarines, the men in independent sightings from nearby Seabray Hotel observed that the objects did not disturb the surface when submerging. almost like they did not interact with the water. This interaction with fluid is extremely similar to the HMNZS Southland case Knuth describes at the Soul Foundation, which oddly enough occurred near New Zealand. We all know of the famous alleged UFO encounter by explorer Christopher Columbus, where he and his crew saw what they described as a wax candle rising and falling in the middle of the ocean in the middle of the night. But I don't have enough evidence or resources to talk about this case. What I do want to talk about are two cases that occurred around the turn of the 20th century that are documented by the U.S. Hydrographic Bureau. On November 12, 1887, Captain R.F. Moore of the English steamer the SS Siberian encountered a USO 10 nautical miles off Cape Race, Newfoundland. The captain observed an enormous fireball rise from the sea to 50 feet, moving towards the craft, then speed away into the sky. At the time, the Hydrographic Bureau in Washington named it, quote, one of the most rare and most difficult to explain electrical phenomena. But as far as I know, I have not seen any cases of ball lightning exiting the sea. And in Africa, the Gulf of Guinea, 1902, four men aboard the ship the Fort Salisbury witnessed an immense object sinking into the ocean. The cigar-shaped object measured nearly 200 meters long and 300 meters wide. As the object passed under the ship, the men on the vessel described two orange lights lit at the front and two blue-green lights shining at the other end. This case, in my opinion, could represent a submarine. However, seen as popular submarines at this time, such as the early German U-boat measured solely 41 meters long, I still find this case anomalous. And now we get to an anomalous and perplexing USO called the Maritime Light Wheel. Throughout the late 19th and early 20th century, there was a hotspot of peculiar phenomenon observed by sailors all over the Eastern Hemisphere. And it's worthy to note, this just wasn't an isolated incident. In fact, the Maritime Light Wheel is reported on in that Russian USO documentary I mentioned earlier.
У нас была информация о том, что в океане, в морях, в наших внутренних морях наблюдались случаи каких-то совершенно странных явлений, связанных с освещением воды.
Октябрь 1969 года. Аравийское море. Команда советского научного судна Владимир Воробьев неожиданно проснулась от безотчетного страха. Приборы показали, под килем на глубине 20 метров завис массивный предмет. До дна еще 150 метров. Выбежали на палубу. Нет, это не подводная лодка, как подумали сначала. В глубине моря против часовой стрелки, слегка изогнувшись, вращались 8 ярких лучей длиной до 200 метров. Феерия продолжалась более получаса. Затем пятно распалось на несколько частей и исчезло. За 2 года до этого источник света удалось разглядеть. Это было в 1967 в Сиамском заливе. Моряки нескольких голландских судов тогда наблюдали вращение на воде огромных светящихся колес. А с теплохода «Гленфоллах» был ясно виден выступающий над водой светящийся выпуклый объект диаметром 20-30 метров. Что это было? Вопрос остался без ответа.
В море неоднократно наблюдались светящиеся колеса, которые наш известный кораблестроитель академик Крылов называл подводными призраками.
Размеры колес иногда огромные, до нескольких километров. Иной раз их видно даже из космоса. Нередко они перемещаются, причем довольно быстро. Яркость свечения на поверхности моря такова, что отблеск порой виден на облаках. Что это? Биосвечение микроорганизмов? Но как объяснить удивительную симметричность и огромную скорость вращения световых колес? Лучи порой скользят по поверхности моря со скоростью гоночного автомобиля. Микроорганизмы так быстро передвигаться не могут. К тому же пробы воды из колес нередко показывают, что там нет даже следов светящегося планктона.
As described in the documentary and many cases, the Maritime Light Wheel is described as a wheel surrounded by spokes of brilliant white light that can appear below the water surface or hovering in the air, serving as a possibly transmedium craft. I must note also, as they talked about in the video, Some attribute these USO wheels to a rare interaction between bioluminescent algae and pressure waves in an otherwise calm water. However, I do not think this explanation has any sort of consensus or full acceptance. But let's review the earliest sightings of these wheels. And mind you, there are many, many, many more sightings of the maritime light wheel that have been observed, but I just want to recount a few of the earliest. On March 27, 1873, the ship Adelheid voyaged from Labuan to Singapore. Captain Ledman noticed a peculiar blinding milky white light appear beneath the waves about two ship lengths from the vessel, emitting waves of light described as, quote, flakes of snow when driven over the rocks by a strong wind, end quote. The light followed the ship, traveling at 4 to 5 knots for roughly half an hour before slowly disappearing. Ledman stated he had not seen anything like this in his 26 years of maritime life. We can find the description of this case in the National Library of Australia, mentioned in an 1873 news article in the Argus. An almost USO flap was experienced in the Persian Gulf from 1879 to 1901. An initial USO sighting was reported to the Admiralty by Captain Evans, a hydrographer for the British Navy, on May 15, 1879. J.E. Pringle of the HMS Vulture reported, quote, luminous waves or pulsations in the water, moving at great speed, end quote, passing under the Vulture. It was at this time Pringle noticed two objects to the east and west, what appeared to be, quote, revolving wheels with a center on that bearing, and whose spokes were illuminated, end quote. Worthy to note, these two wheels were rotating in equal and opposite directions, and the spokes were about 25 feet in length. It is unclear if these wheels were submerged into the water, as the language of this 19th century English gets a little tricky here. The second instance in the Persian Gulf occurred in May of 1880 from the British India Company steamer Patna. Captain Avern, Mr. Manning, third officer, and others observed two enormous luminous wheels appear on each side of the ship near 11:30 p.m. The wheels were, quote, whirling around, the spokes of which seemed to brush along the ship. The spokes would be 200 to 300 yards long and resembled the birch rods of the Dame School. Each wheel contained about 16 spokes, and although the wheels must have been some 500 to 600 yards in diameter, the spokes could be distinctly seen all the way around, end quote. The men described the appearance of the spokes could almost be represented by standing in a boat and flashing a bull's-eye lantern horizontally along the surface of the water, round and round. The final Persian encounter with this USO was observed on April 4th, 1901, where Captain Hosian of the steamship Kila encountered, quote, vast shafts of light suddenly appeared, shaft followed shaft upon the surface of the sea, but it was only a faint light and in about 15 minutes died out, having appeared suddenly and having died out gradually. These shafts revolved at a velocity of about 60 miles an hour. From earlier the year of 1880 I just mentioned, this wheel-like object was possibly seen off the Malabar coast of India on January 5th by commander of the SS Shahjahan. R.E. Harris describes a clear night over calm waters, stars shining bright and no moon present. At roughly 10 p.m., Harris and the ship's third officer noticed a milky white circle in the sky, resembling, quote, the nebulae sometimes seen in the heavens. Approaching the object, the sailors stopped the vessel to try and gain an understanding of this anomalous object and its waves of light. The last old example here I will cover occurred on the 10th of June 1909 and was actually featured in Scientific American, issue 106-51, which relays the Nautical Meteorological Annual published by the Danish Meteorological Institute, a report on a, quote, singular phenomena. While sailing through the Straits of Malacca, Captain Gabe of the SS Bintang observed a vast revolving wheel of light under the water, quote, long arms issuing from a center around which the whole system appeared to rotate, end quote. Surfacing, this wheel was so vast, only half of it could be seen at a time, with the center lying near the horizon. The wheel was able to move forward and vary in speed and rotation, disappearing when the center was right under the vessel. And like our last 1880 case, these maritime light wheels aren't just seen below the water. In the same Danish Meteorological Institute, there reports another instance in 1910, where Captain Breyer of the Dutch steamship Valentin was sailing in the South China Sea. Here, the captain, first and second mate, and the first engineer all observed an object hovering above the water, quote, it looked like a horizontal wheel, rapidly turning. My friends, thank you so much for watching today as we took a deeper dive into USOs throughout history. Please excuse the rash guard I'm wearing. I just got home from training, but Phalanx, if you're watching, I'm always open for a sponsor. But anyways, guys, I got such a great reaction to my first video on USO, I had to make a follow-up and show that it doesn't matter what time period we're in, it doesn't matter what country we're in, there are stories of unexplained things in the water. As far as the maritime light wheel goes, I'm pretty torn on that, whether that is a craft object or possibly some sort of more anomalous natural phenomena. I'll include in the video description a kind of, not really debunk, but a paper kind of possibly exploring explanations for this phenomena. But still, the fact these are seen in the Persian Gulf, in Russia, all around the world is fascinating to me. But even more fascinating to me are Australian, Blue Book, and Soviet files, all depicting very similar experiences. Tic-tac-shaped craft, slash cigars, fireballs exiting the water. Fireballs exiting the water that are almost curious about the ship. Egg shapes leaving the water that frightens the Soviet hydrologists. But we see multiple cases of these sort of light balls leaving the water dancing around and shooting off into the sky or back into the water. As far as the Tic Tacs go, we often see these things hovering slightly above water in multiple cases, saying they're quivering or gyrating or slowly submerging under the water, but not affecting the water surface, similar to the case Kevin Knuth talks about. So I think we can find a lot of answers to the UFO phenomena by looking in our oceans. There's so many more cases, so many I wanted to talk about, but couldn't really find reputable sources for, such as some Chilean incidents that supposedly in the military, a fleet of saucers approached a craft. But until then, we'll just keep digging in case files. It's a shame that there's not a lot of information at Blue Book. We can thank OpNav3820 and JANAP146C for that. But, you know, we'll work with what we're given. If one day I can get in contact with George Knapp and see if any of those UFO files he smuggled out of Russia pertain to USO, I would very much like to do that. But where I stand now, USO is one of the most fascinating aspects of the phenomenon. The fact these craft can operate in air or undersea, transmedium objects without really changing their flight characteristics is insane to me. So if you guys haven't yet, watch that Russian documentary. It's actually really darn good. I highly suggest watching it. It does a great job exploring kind of the Soviet side of USOs. And of course, you can listen to someone talk in a Russian accent for 45 minutes. So that's great. As always, guys, thank you so much for watching. I've seen a lot of added support with the channel lately with the Kingman video and getting retweeted by Ross. So that's been great. I love all of you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Remember to like and retweet. Leave a comment on the video. Let me know what you think. Let me know what cases, crashes, whatever you want me to tackle next. That has to do with the phenomena, of course. Nothing random. So just let me know. And again, thanks for being here, guys. I'll catch you on the next video.